Want to grow your business fast? With TikTok ads, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/tiktokads, and grow your business fast.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Thanks, everybody.
The Bears.
You're listening to the best of the Bears.
He's in for the touchdown, and the Chicago Bears have taken the lead.
A weekly mix of 670 The Score's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Dan Bernstein, Marshall Harris, middays 10 till 2.
Yeah, you just have to stay open-minded because, like, what we don't talk about enough is just because your free agency opens up and it looks a certain way, you don't know if there's a connection that player may want to go somewhere else. So it may not even come down to money. It may be the fit for the player. So there's no guarantees just because the board is lined up and you have money to make it happen. So you got to really cast a wide net and be opportunistic and see when opportunities pop up. You know, this is the best thing for us. You do anticipate things like that. But at the same time, it was just about acquiring the best players that we can.
That's Ryan Poles. He didn't have a ton to say yesterday, and that's okay. Because if I had Ben Johnson as my head coach, and if I had some of these players and how professional they sound, I'd let them do the talking.
They both talked for about 11 minutes combined, and that includes the time it took for questions to be asked. I'm hoping that they both talk for longer today. He and Ben Johnson, they sat together yesterday, so I'm hoping that we hear more from them today now that we have another press conference that we get to anticipate.
So let's get right to it. This is a couple of minutes here from Ben Johnson. And I want to see, if you didn't follow what I was tweeting or posting on Blue Sky regarding this, if you don't know, just see, but play along with me. Play Think Like Bernstein. I know it's careful. Just don't do it often because it's bad for you. Horrible things are going to happen. And when I said that, everybody's like eyes shot out of their head and blood started coming out of their ears and they died. So you try it and figure out which quote in here made me the happiest.
We want some tough, some gritty, some dirty individuals, and we feel pretty good about the two guys we got. Smart is a word that comes to mind, particularly with the interior players. We need guys that we love to have some versatility to our scheme, some multiplicity, if you will. And so we got a couple guys in the building now that we feel strongly can handle a variety of different concepts and schemes that we might want to employ each and every week. Beyond that, I mean, their play speaks for themselves just in terms of what the tape says. The character, the integrity, it's top-notch. I can speak firsthand with Jonah, and Ryan can speak firsthand with Joe. I'm really, really excited to get these guys in the room, combined with the coaches that we've already put together for that room. I feel really good about the style of play we'll have this year.
Speaking to the run game specifically, how important is it with, like, what are you looking for from your interior offensive linemen to be able to run as many schemes as you do and be as effective in the run? Like, what do Jonah and Joe possess that leads you to believe that that will yield some?
Yeah, I mean, the intelligence factor is a major portion of it, because they got to be able to handle different fronts for all these variety of schemes that we would like to employ. End of the day, we'll push this thing as far as we feel the collective group can handle up front. And that's where the intelligence is so important to expand on that variety. If we get really good at particular type of blocks, that's what we're going to feature. So we're not going to try to do something that doesn't make sense. But we have two extremely well-rounded individuals here. Feel really good about Darnell, Braxton, the rest of the group that's in that room right now, and how that thing could look in terms of the combinations, getting movement at the line of scrimmage, playing on the defense's line side of the ball. And that's particular for the run game. Up front, though, in the passing game, we have to be better from a pass protection standpoint, and we really prioritize guys that are going to win one-on-one battles with a three technique, and we feel like both these guys are capable of that.
Did you find it?
Oh, I did.
Did you hear it? Did you hear it? It wasn't really emphasized, so you had to be paying close attention to what I thought the big takeaway was in that. And in some ways, it's sad that something that obvious about good coaching versus bad coaching would have to be said. But what I pulled from there was, quote, if we get really good at a particular type of blocks, that's what we're going to feature. We're not going to try to do something that doesn't make sense.
If we get really good at particular type of blocks, that's what we're going to feature. So we're not going to try to do something that doesn't make sense.
Hey, I would like to go over a couple of plays. I want you guys to tell me if they fall into the category of trying something or making something work that doesn't make sense. Speed option on fourth and goal. Does it make sense or no? All right. What about handing the ball off to Doug Kramer on third and eight? Or it was also a goal line package.
Especially in that particular situation.
What about starting the game empty against the Minnesota Vikings at home and having Karan Amagaji play his first start at left tackle?
That's on me.
Okay, so that's interesting. I'm beginning to see some examples here of things that made sense and things that did not make sense. How refreshing. I'm not sure, Dan. What do you think?
I just think the concept of things making sense and not having to say, this is my system and this is what I run and we need to find people who fit my system. And it goes back to what I've said before and what we talked to Jeff Schwartz about too, about how offensive coaches in football and basketball always get excited about new coaches. Always, we're going to do this, we're going to do this, we're going to do this. And then by the time they realize what they can and can't do, they only can run a handful of things. And sometimes they go through a little sort of denial period of bargaining and acceptance. But he's not. Ben Johnson's like, yeah, let's see what we can block. Let's see what we're good at. Isn't that a wild concept? Run the stuff you're good at?
to me, if the lead draw worked every play and I could get 4 yards out of it every time, what do you think I'd be doing? I don't care.
Right.
I don't care. Like, if you think it's too simple, then block it. Yeah, it's a baseball mentality, right? The best way to show up a pitcher is, or for a pitcher to show up a batter who just hit a home run is to strike him out next time. You still got to do the thing. So, in my opinion, if there's something they're not good at, stop trying to make fetch happen.
They're not going to.
Don't get too cute. When you can get cute.
That's not the plan.
When you can get cute in different ways. So true. Like, there's so many times where that is just really the case.
I feel like Ben Johnson and me would get along well playing Madden together, because if I find a play that works, I'll run it the whole drive. Like, I will run it 10 times in a row if it's going to get me a touchdown.
That's it. Like, why would you stop? If they can't do it, it's like in basketball.
I was going to say, that is the correct basketball approach, is run it until they got to take a timeout.
That's it. I'm lobbing everything if I've got Blake Griffin. Stop me. You know, figure out a way to stop me.
Or if I've got a pick and roll matchup, whether it's 1-4, 1-5, 2-4, 2-5, 2-3, whatever it is, if I can invert it and keep running it with those two guys and you're just not good enough to stop it, I got you all day. All day. And that's why NBA playoff series are so much fun, because you will get these mad scientist coaches who'll be like, wait a second. Why don't we come out and see if they can stop this? They haven't seen this before.
It's trolling. You know? It's trolling at the highest level.
That's coaching.
And I love it.
Yeah, but like, that's the ultimate matchups of some of these coaches. I used to love watching that. And they'd look at each other too sometimes. I'm like, you son of a bitch. I knew you were gonna do that.
Shruggy.
Like, yeah, like
you wanna do something about this? Then do something about this.
That's why I'm jealous you guys have Ben Johnson, because he said this multiple times that he didn't want to beat other teams. He wanted to straight up embarrass them. That's why he did a lot of the trick plays against the Bears. Like, I want to embarrass you and point out every weakness that you have. I'm so jealous you guys have this guy. I love him so much.
Robbie, you're with us too.
I am with you guys.
Like,
but
it's like you still kind of have him.
Or you
because
can,
he surrounds yeah. you.
Or you
no,
can
don't
join
don't
us.
You do no. So my brain is like Severance when I walk into this building. It's like I'm severed when I'm here. I have to cover the Bears and I try to be as unbiased as I can. But when the Lions enter the building, like, I'm unsevered.
I'm telling you, as somebody much older than you, eventually you just become a part of the place that you're at.
You get sort of subsumed into the Borg.
No, I've told you, like, I couldn't enjoy.
Now, do you know what that reference is?
No. I only know that from The Wolf of Wall Street. I know that's probably another.
One of Us?
Yes.
There was a look up the movie Freaks by Todd Browning.
If we're going to give him all these assignments, he's not going to have time to produce a show tomorrow.
This is so much fun. It's like having a kid.
You're Dan's empty nest.
Yes. I can
let me fill that hole, Dan.
I can teach. Hey, careful.
Pause.
I can you know, teach people things they didn't know, and then they think you're smart for a while. And then it'll be like my kids. He's like, wow, this guy's really smart. He's really awesome. And he's like, this guy sucks. I hate him. Can I have some money? That's the way it works.
I'm okay with you just
suck.
Working it out.
You suck. I hate you. Give me money.
We all have things that we work out, you know. If you're just doing that on the air, we have a 4-hour show.
And my birds will be here soon, so then I'll have the whole literal nest thing going on again.
Okay, 847, screenplays never work. However, they do work. I present to you the San Francisco 49ers. Like, you just have to have the right downfield blocking, and you call the play when, I don't know, second down is critical. You just don't do it when you think that's, you're out thinking them on third down or something, and, you know, it's third and long, and you think a screenplay is going to happen. Like, that's my issue, is so many times it wasn't just the play. It was the situation of the play that made it infuriating. Like, you can do a crack toss to the short side of the field if you are in a short yardage situation and you don't need much, or it's an early down. I'm fine with it. But it's when you think that you're outthinking the other team. You're not. They anticipated already. That's why you're in the situation you're in to begin with, and that down.
I do have to warn Bears fans, though. There's, like, when he does the trick plays, there's sometimes it's not going to work, and you're just going to have to be fine with the pie on your face.
Yeah.
Like, when they do work, it's great. But, like, for the Lions, when Jameson Williams throws the interception in a very key moment, you have to wear that. And it's going to happen. You have to, like, not go crazy about it, because it works more than it doesn't.
Or when a lineman forgets to report, you know?
Pass, yeah.
That also happened in a Bears game.
Well, the Bears just forget.
He did.
That's a, if that that should be a, that, if that's a trick play where you're pretending to forget to report, that's next level. If you just send out all linemen,
I would see you doing that. Like that would be something that I think you would do.
A fake pretend to report play.
But it. But then the penalty's on you.
I don't know. I haven't even thought that through. I don't think I can even get there with that. When we come back,
pretend to.
I don't know.
We've gone crazy. Why don't we're drunk on Bears Shamrock Inception. Shake anticipation and competent football, and I don't know that I can handle this.
Let's hear from one of the new Bears who has been endorsed as a potential Pro Bowl player despite a difficult year last year. That's next. Bernstein and Harris with Layla Rahimi in on the Score.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Grand Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggs.
With Mully and Haw. Biggs time.
The Biggs Report.
With Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggsy.
His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Mark Grody's in for Mully today. Good morning to our Chicago Sports Network audience, simulcasting till 9 o'clock. And it is time. It is Biggs time. Time to go out to the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, aturo.com. Tribune's football man, our friend and colleague, Brad Biggs. Good morning, Brad. How's it going?
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, yesterday was a pretty busy day. A lot of stuff. Great question that you asked in your time allotted with the three new Bears and also Ben Johnson and Ryan Poles. What was your biggest takeaway? We've been talking about it all morning. Everyone has their favorite moment. What was yours?
Well, I mean, they got a super high-energy guy in Grady Jarrett. Like, he should make a pretty immediate impact in that room. And they're hoping he's still got big impact on the field going into year 11. He's a guy that's played an awful lot of football at a high level. I think you have a conversation over the last decade or so of the best three technique tackle in the league that's not named Aaron Donald, like Grady's firmly going to be in that chat, right? And that's a position, we've talked about the center position for a while, which they should introduce Drew Dahlman later on at Hallis Hall today. The center position kind of vexing the Bears, and it was the one that they couldn't get a guy, and they cried some different players. I think the three technique tackle's sort of been that spot on defense. And so you add him, they add Dio, and they've kind of got a new look defensive line with a totally revamped offensive line.
Yeah, I mean, you're right about that. I mean, I thought Justin Jones was okay at three technique. We've been watching Jervon Dexter have his moments there, but Grady Jarrett is legit, and that will help guys like Jervon Dexter and Zach Pickens fall into place as well. I also thought Biggs yesterday, low-key, Joe Tooney was great. Jonah Jackson, though, I did like the way he took two, three, four questions about about what happened last year when he was forced to start at center, had the fractured scapula, and just never really recovered his season in terms of his play. And I know he returned to play after the injury. But what did you make of what Jackson said about last year? And do you have any concern about that based on what he said yesterday?
I think he was pretty straightforward about it, and I'm sure the Bears looked into it. Should there be a level of concern? Yeah, anytime you see a guy sign a, what was it, like a $51 million yeah. three-year deal?
Yep, exactly.
Huge payday from the Rams.
At this time last year. About this time last year, exactly.
Absolutely, yep. Right. I mean, he was one of the top available offensive linemen on the market a year ago. And when a team a year later is like, yeah, we're going to move on here, that's pause for concern, right? You got to take a look here. But I thought he gave solid answers to it. And ultimately, though, you got to trust the new head coach here. He's got the experience with him. He's been in the room with him. He's been on the field with him. So I think you put your faith in Ben Johnson there with the Jonah Jackson move, the trade to get him, and you hope that he can kind of regain his healthy ways, because like it wasn't just last year that's at least a little concerning. He missed a total of 9 ball games combined in 2022 and 2023. So you talk about missing 4 or 5 games a year, and that's third. You're getting up to a third of the season that is an issue for you there. So I think considering his age and his contract situation, the guaranteed money runs out after this year. You know, if Jonah Jackson wants to be a guy on the field and a guy that can get to the negotiating table again, the Bears ought to get the very best that he has to offer this season.
Brad, you asked a very good question about culture, and you've heard a lot of it before, being up there as long as you have and seeing as many new players introduced as you have. The culture argument, or every new team and regime and coach and player want to talk about infusing the building with the new culture. Is this any different to you? Did your answer make you feel like this, or anything you heard yesterday make you feel like this was different than previous introductions and previous new regimes?
I'm open-minded to it being different, because they've got players in here with real experience on winning teams and guys that have been established, like Joe Tooney. I mean, how many people are walking the earth that have more Super Bowl rings than him, right? There's not a lot of them. He's got 4. And then, you know, Grady Jarrett, while the Falcons haven't been great while he was there, when you're being paid and paid at a high level by a team for 10 years, you're doing something right. Like, who's the last Bears player, not a specialist, that was with the club for 10 years?
Jay Cutler?
Was Lance Briggs there?
Yeah.
10 years?
Yeah.
I mean, Cutler was definitely not there 10 years. So you just put that into perspective of the longevity. So there's a reason why they value him on the field, and they really value him off the field. So if those two guys can come in, and I'm not talking about speeches in front of teammates or anything like that, but people see how they go about their business in the meeting room. People see how they handle themselves in the weight room. You know, every little thing you think, you're not paying them to be coaches, but you're hoping that you've got some teammates that are paying attention and keeping an eye on them, and that will help them turn the tide, because the culture flag at Hallis Hall, let's face it, it looks like it's been through like 3 or 4 hurricanes.
It's weathered. It's well weathered.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Despite the 8 captains.
Yeah. Don't even get me started.
What do you think? Two captains this year? 3 bigs? Back to normal?
It doesn't matter. It doesn't. Like, they got to go out and win, they got to go out and play ball. Like, you know, 8 captains, 4, 3. Like, Not enough wins.
Yeah.
Not enough wins.
You know who the captain is? Ben freaking Johnson. That's the captain of this team. You want to take it in a different direction. Hey, Biggsy, Joe Tooney was hit with a bunch of questions about his future, and it didn't seem like he was ready to or desirous of answering those questions. Will they get that's going to be a priority, right, Brad, to get a long-term deal done, whatever that is, for a 32-year-old guard, Joe Tooney?
Yeah, you know, I thought his answers were fine. He wasn't, like, he doesn't control it. Like, if the team wants to talk to him about a pay raise or an extension, then they know how to get a hold of his agent, right? And most guys are a little uncomfortable talking about contract situations, especially when they're thrown into a new spot. Here's what I believe. Okay, this is my opinion. If the Bears want to present Joe Tooney as this leader for them, they need to put actions into place here, and actions are extending the guy's contract. I do not believe they traded with the Kansas City Chiefs to acquire him with the intention of him starting for them for one season. Mm-hmm. Is there a sense of urgency, a rush to get that done? No. Okay, not at all. They've got plenty of time, but I also don't believe you can hold the guy up as this great example of new leadership that you've brought into your locker room without proving it with the contract. So is that something that happens late in the spring? I've got no guess as to a timeline, but in my opinion, that's something that would at some point need to take place.
Brad, earlier in the offseason, maybe when they introduced Ben Johnson, I think it was Ryan Poles suggesting that there would be competition at left tackle. Yesterday, hearing from some of the new players, as well as maybe the implication from Poles and or Johnson, that Braxton Jones was a guy that they counted on to be part of the starting five up front. Was that a shift at all to you? And do you think the Bears are comfortable if they have to go into the season, or if they do go into the season with Braxton Jones as their starting left tackle?
Yeah, I heard what you did yesterday. I'm gonna try to not read into too much about roster possibilities here as we get close to mid-March. If you're super comfortable with Braxton Jones at left tackle, you've got even more options and flexibility in terms of the draft. I think there's a possibility that's, I don't want to call it gamesmanship with what they said. We'll have to wait and see. But I also don't believe that they've been as out on Braxton Jones, at least the front office, as some people have wanted to believe was the case. What I've got no idea is how the new coaching staff has evaluated Braxton Jones. So I'm kind of taking a wait and see. I don't want to try to interpret everything that was said in regards to him yesterday, because I think you're doing more guessing than you probably want to be doing.
Yeah, I mean that will.
I mean, did you disagree, Dave? Or like?
No, I think that's the right approach to take. I just think there was a subtle shift in the way that they spoke about.
Maybe a little bit.
Yeah,
but enough to say, aha, like Braxton is the guy. I don't think.
I think you're a lot more comfortable talking about him being the guy when you have three interior lineman jobs filled in a way that they weren't filled the last time you spoke about it.
So 100%. If Joe Tooney's left next to Braxton Jones, how much better is he than if you've got Tevin Jenkins there about 65% of the time?
But I think you made a good point Biggs, we know what Ryan Poles thinks about Braxton Jones. I mean, he looks at that as a fifth round gold, and from the beginning, he's been starting at left tackle. So we'll see what Ben Johnson thinks about him. I'm looking forward to today as well, Brad. You mentioned Drew Dahlman. We'll also get a chance to talk to Dio Odengbo, the new defensive end, 3 years, $48 million, $32 million guaranteed. I know that there will be other defensive ends, obviously, on this roster, but is the expectation that, Brad, that Odengbo will be the guy who gets the majority of the action at the opposite spot of Montez Sweat, or could they slide somebody else in still? Is Odengbo that guy?
I mean, they pay $16 million a year. He better be that guy.
Yeah, but this is a projection. Isn't this a projection on a player, because the numbers don't exactly stand out at you?
Right, but the projection is that he's going to develop and blossom. He's going to get 70% of the snaps on defense this season if he's healthy. Like, who are you kidding?
No, he's still got something to prove, though. I mean, this is not like a – I get it. Like, this is a phenomenal athlete.
If you get it, then you understand that they're not giving a guy $28, $30 million guaranteed to not – be the front line player for at least this season. If the thing blows up and is a disaster,
yeah,
we could have a different conversation next year. But they're not going to slide him somewhere else.
Sure, but what's the projection on him? What are they expecting out of him? Are they expecting 8 sacks out of him? Are they cool with what's been done? And we'll find other ways to get to the quarterback. Like, what are they expecting out of? Are they expecting that he's going to be a? Are they projecting him to be a 12 sack guy? What are they thinking about him?
I don't think coaches and front office people sit there and put a sack number on players like he's gonna be a this for us. I think you're looking for a guy who profiles for what Dennis Allen likes, which is a big, strong player with length on the edge. It's got a good motor. Like he's got everything you'd want to put into that position. Good number of quarterback hits the last couple of seasons. You know, if he can turn just a couple of those hits into finished plays where he's got the quarterback, I think everybody will be pretty content with him. If Grady Jarrett is able to perform at a level that they believe he's at, that they're paying him at, he's going to cause some of that disruption in the interior that is going to naturally produce plays for other guys on the line, Dio being one of them as well. So, yeah, I think there's a bit of a projection with him, and you're crossing your fingers that this guy's best football is ahead of him. I know Grady talked about his best being ahead of him, but we're going to be real here. He's 32 next month, going into year 11. He's not what he was at 25. But with Dio, there's growth potential, and with some of the other guys they've got on the team, if they like him as a developing player, I kind of like sinking the money in that better than going out. It's certainly better than getting a guy like Joey Bosa or available players where durability is going to be a concern and the production hasn't been through the roof either. Like if Khalil Mack gives you 7 sacks this coming season at $18 million, I think that's what the Chargers are paying him, or even 8 sacks, you rather have that than Dio with 5.5 or 6. If Dio works out, this will have been a pretty shrewd move, and he's a guy that was really interesting for teams because of the physical traits, yes, the skills, and what they've seen on tape.
Brad, when you add two guys over 30 like Tooney and Jarrett, I think it speaks to just how much urgency there might be attached to the next couple seasons, maybe next season, maybe the one after that, but they're trying to take advantage of the window that's represented by Caleb Williams' rookie contract. Did you sense that urgency yesterday from Ben Johnson? Do you think that's appropriate to go into this, you know, to the draft, to training camp, whatever, to next season, expecting the Bears to contend for the playoffs?
There's certainly urgency, and it catches your attention when they want to bring in players that are on the wrong side of 30, because we've seen that happen before, and we know how that's worked out for other teams as well. There's a risk associated in a move that on paper looks terrific in March and makes all the sense in the world in March, can become a head scratcher by November, right? You're looking at like, well, yeah, he's old and he isn't what he used to be. And what did you expect, right? And you recall back to March when it sounded like a great idea, but there's a sense of urgency. Dave, they've got a really difficult schedule this season. Like, this is going to be a daunting schedule, particularly with the road games that they've got on the docket. They need to be more competitive, though, right? They need to. I think that's the goal, right? You want to be a better football team. You know, attaching playoffs to it. It's a little bit early. I'd like to see some more. You know, everyone is aware that there's a good handful of teams that kind of come out of nowhere and make the playoffs each year, and it's gotten easier in the NFL because heck, almost half the team makes the playoffs. So can the Bears profile as one of those teams? Certainly, it's possible. They've got a ton of work to do. They've got more roster reshaping to do. But I don't want to get ahead of myself talking about what this team could potentially accomplish this season.
Great stuff, Brad. I imagine you'll be up there again today. They're going to introduce a couple of new players, and Ben Johnson and Ryan Pohl scheduled to address the media again, so enjoy yourself at Hallis.
Have a great day, guys.
All right, Brad Biggs, football man from the Chicago Tribune.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Okay, here we go, sports fans.
Afternoons on the Score.
Grady Jarrett, he spoke today, and this is why he's your new favorite Bear.
When you're playing ball, you cross some lines, you got to be able to go in that dark place, you know, and sometimes what happened in that dark place, you know, it get a little crazy, you know what I'm saying? And just being a competitor, and I talked about mic'd up with some of the new media team here, and I was like, yeah, I know I got some crazy ones. And that was released, so the stuff that's not released got to be super crazy. But you got to have that dog in you, you know what I'm saying? Obviously, Jordan Love is a good quarterback.
But we got to pause it there.
Can we listen to him on the mic'd up with Jordan Love?
Well, you better pipe down, little. You better pipe down, little. No love for love, baby.
You better get down. Can I say it? I think I can say it, right?
No love for love.
No love for love.
You can.
I think I can. You better get down, little bitch.
Whoa!
Yo, let's waste that biatch.
Biatch? What? Pipe down? Did he say pipe down?
Pipe down.
Oh, it was pipe down?
Yeah, he might have said
I
pipe
thought
down.
He said better get down.
Just for clarity's sake, let's hear it again.
Yeah.
You better pipe down, little
You better pipe down, little bitch.
Hey, Riley, you know, I'm not sure how you talk in your family, buddy, but we kind of don't use that language in this house.
Oh, well, pardon me, Rhonda Rulebook, but I'm me. This is who I am, bitch.
Riley, buddy.
Right, fine language.
I mean,
you're enjoying saying that.
Just keep going.
Yes, Lawrence, your new favorite bear, pipe down, little bitch.
Daryl, I looked my woman in the eye sockets. Mm-hmm. I told her straight out. I just said it, man. Mm-hmm. I said. I said, babe.
Hey, guys.
Hey, girl. How you doing? Man, you having a good time? You seen the bedroom? Yeah, we just looking at the washing machine.
The official adventures of
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score.
One of the best Key and Peele bits ever. Welcome, welcome, welcome. It is the Spiegel and Holmes show.
I got to be Key, right? Because you're the one who gets confused for Peele. So I got to be Keegan Michael. I got work to do to try and become that kind of endomorph.
He's very musical. So he's been in a bunch of musicals. He's a singer. So it works.
I love the musical that he and Cecily Strong did on Apple.
Schmigadoon.
Schmigadoon. Modeled after Brigadoon, a crazy old weird-ass musical. Very, very funny
show.
Yeah,
it was funny because they kind of made it sci-fi, and yeah. It was a lot of fun.
Well, the musical itself, the original musical, is sort of sci-fi. It's about a town that comes alive once every 100 years.
Yeah, that's how I felt about Bourbonnais. Like now that the Bears now are gone, does Bourbonnais still exist?
You know, I knew there was a reason to come in. Within 3 minutes of the show, we've compared Brigadoon to Bourbonnais. Good afternoon, everybody.
It's either Brigadoon or a Shangri-La. Well, Bourbonnais, when the Bears were there, is one of those two things.
Shangri-La is the town that didn't exist, right up in the mountains.
Yeah.
Paradise. Okay, all right. Cool. Carry on, Lawrence.
Sorry.
For God's sake.
Shane is here. Tanny's here. That man
Hello.
Is Matt Spiegel.
Hello.
And we've got a show for you today. We are going to spend some time talking about... We brought it back because we felt like it had a nice piece of success the last time that we did it. Baseball Hour will be at 4 o'clock today.
Mm-hmm. Looking forward to that.
Baseball Hour. We're going to talk with John Morosi. We've got some thoughts about the Cubs-Dodgers series, and we'll talk about the possibility of Lance Lynn joining the Cubs.
Yeah, and we'll throw in the embarrassment that a certain franchise legend is experiencing around MLB as well.
So we're going to do that. Jarrett Payton's going to join us in about 10 minutes. I wanted to start, Spiegs, with you talking about some of the stuff that we saw in yesterday's press conference. By the way, the Bears are going to have another press conference today, and we will share the highlights of that as the afternoon goes on.
Can I say, so today is just Drew Dolman, because he apparently is ready to go, and then there might be another one tomorrow?
Maybe for Dio, if the physical can get done and all that
Dangbo.
Stuff.
So every day, another Bears press conference.
I'm sure that the powers that be in baseball absolutely love that the Bears have taken a whole week.
Oh, you didn't hear? The next press conference is actually in Japan. So that'll be next week. So sorry, Spiegs. You know, they are really taking attention away.
Hey, man, whatever you got to do, I guess. If you're the NFL, you're dying for publicity.
Well, it is funny how this like role reversal thing kind of went on, where the NBA had some stuff going on, and there's some big stories in the league. Luka getting hurt, LeBron getting hurt, and the NFL was like, hi, remember around the Super Bowl when you guys were doing all that stuff and everyone stopped looking at what was going on with the NFL? Welcome to the new age. We're just gonna have everything happen now. Enjoy all of your content that you're putting out there for people.
A game every day of the week. Let's steal Christmas from you while we're at it.
The Stephen A. Smith LeBron thing like went away because the NFL was like, hi, we're here now.
Yeah,
we're here. We're totally here.
Sean Hannity brought it back a little bit.
Well, you're gonna be seeing a lot more of that with him.
I'm good.
That's a whole thing.
Back to the Bears.
That's happening.
Yeah, it's happening. Back to the Bears.
Back
sir.
To the Bears.
So why? Because you were thinking and feeling a certain way about everything as it was crossing yesterday.
I felt like, Spiegs, that what we saw yesterday, I think, is a really good thing. And it, for those who had questions about it, Ben Johnson is as involved as any head coach in the league with the personnel decisions that are being made. And guess what? I'm good with it. I like this. I'm glad that Ryan Poles has a partner. And that's how I'm going to keep talking about them.
Mm-hmm.
That this feels like a partnership. And it feels like Ryan Poles listening to his partner and saying, okay, let's go get you the things that you need. You want these dirty, down-in-the-dirt type players?
Tough, gritty, dirty, and smart.
Let's go get some of those. Well, what characterizes that for you? And then Ben Johnson will tell him, these are the type of players that I like, including a player that he used to coach. And then you see the momentum that's built up from that. I love it. I love that the head coach of the Bears is not in the background. And that's what's been going on for the last 3 years. You have a guy that's just kind of, here are the raw materials, do what you can.
Uh-huh.
This makes more sense.
Oh, yeah, that's not the way it's supposed to go. And that's what we saw over the last 3 years, especially once they kind of emerged from the changeover of the roster and you had last year. And that's the year that the coach is supposed to impart his vision. Like, you're supposed to be seeing his idea of how he wants them to play. And we never got away from it. We never got away from just a guy trying to flail with whatever Ryan Poles gave him. This is how it's actually supposed to work, especially in the NFL, but really in lots of sports. You know, you don't think when Golden State was building their team and continuing to build their roster as Steve Kerr was there, that like Steve Kerr was not asked about acquisitions. Like, how does this person fit?
Well, remember, they had built up with Mark Jackson. What, they win 54 games and they fired him because they felt like they needed something more. And now, look, the Bears have not, they're not in that situation they're winning. But the idea of let the coach be a part of it, there's nothing wrong with that. We don't have to have this kind of top-down, siloed leadership model.
No.
The coach should absolutely be a part of it, especially when you're trying to woo said coach to try and choose your franchise over others.
And that's exactly how it went down. That's exactly how it went down in the process. I was reporting on that and sharing that along the way, that he was being told that he was going to have a big hand in dictating what kind of team they were going to put together. And you could see it on Ryan Poles' face as Ben Johnson was talking about offensive linemen yesterday. And Poles was like so proud and happy to be there and letting this guy voice the stuff, because he has a better way of articulating what he wants out of linemen than even Poles does. And Poles is the former lineman. But the way that Ben Johnson talks about linemen and talks about how he wants them to play, it's just freaking awesome. It's the way that a head coach is supposed to describe things, and a smart GM gets all the information and then filters it down and chooses the player that he thinks is best for what fits what the coach wants to do.
And ideally, if things go well, Ryan Poles can just fade into the background and enjoy the success, because the voice of the Bears needs to be the head coach. And if that's where they're at, if that's what they've got now, just him not being afraid of telling you what the standards were yesterday, and not this kind of like ethereal thing that you're wishing for. No, this is what I want. These are the types of players that I want. Yeah. I'm not afraid to tell you about that. Here's why these guys fit with what we're going to do. And I can't tell you that it's going to work. None of us can. I just know it feels better.
Frankly, it feels like the Cubs thing felt as Theo was taking over and mapping it out. And we were talking about the plan, and you could tell. And I know I tried to say, it's like, I'm not sure it's going to work, but I do like the plan. I do like the ideas behind it in changing the way that you have done things. This is the way it's supposed to be. A coach with the idea and the GM providing everything he can and then letting the coach run with it. Does feel a lot better.
Let's talk with our buddy Jared Payton about this. He's going to join us after a quick timeout. I also want to ask him about an experience that he had at the Super Bowl that I heard about, and it's hilarious. We'll explain next here on The Score.
Okay, extra point.
Set up this extra point.
It's time for the extra point with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Ryan Poles had this to say when asked how the new additions in the trenches will affect his thinking heading into this year's NFL draft.
This really opens the whole board for us. So we're going to be able to sit back and kind of look and say, what's the best thing to do for the Chicago Bears? And who's the best player that can impact? So we got some tough decisions and a lot of film to watch between now and the draft.
What should be the Bears' approach now?
I think what what Ryan Poles was saying is that the draft opened up for Ben Johnson. And if the way I interpreted that, if there's a player that they're enamored with, fixated on even, a guy like Ashton Jeanty, I think it's in play. What he did there was open up every conversation about Ashton Jeanty and make it plausible and make it defensible and justify the interest in possibility. Because when he says open things up, he's talking about everything from Ashton Jeanty to an edge rusher or the best offensive tackle remaining if Will Campbell and Kelvin Banks go off the board first. Membu from Missouri, perhaps. You say, why do you need an offensive tackle if you've got five starters right now in your offensive line? Well, because they're going to get older, and that's the way you keep a strength of strength. Look at the Eagles as an example. Look at the good teams as a model. They continue to stockpile good, capable offensive linemen or defensive linemen. So you can go every area if you want and justify that direction. So Ryan Poles, that's probably part of why he was so happy and smiling, because when you fill five starting positions in less than 5 days with veterans that you trust and are capable and accomplished, you now have draft flexibility, and it's going to be a fun draft season because of that.
Best player available, keep an eye on trading down.
And that is that, ladies and gentlemen. I think like one of the questions, we talked about this earlier, is that hopefully we'll be able to get in today, is will we get a succinct answer? Is Dio Odangbo, is he the guy that is opposite of Montez Sweat? Is that it? No more. We're not going to try to get another guy that could be ahead of him, that they would project to have a better season than him. So you start to wonder about that. And yes, everything suddenly becomes wide open in the draft for the Bears this year. And I, you know, I'm still looking at, believe it or not, even with all the offensive line moves, I mean, I think Kelvin Banks Jr. will probably be there at 10, the left tackle out of Texas. I think he will be available. I think you would have to move up if you wanted to get Mason Graham. He's probably, it seems like he's projected top five in most of the mock. I'm looking at Daniel Jeremiah's right now. He's fifth to the Jacksonville Jaguars right now. But the point is, I think, with all of us talking about this, we could play with this now. We could tinker with this. Yes, you can start to think about neat things like running back, right, and go crazy at wide or tight end. Those are things that you can justify now with the work that the Bears have done up front. So it's going to be fun to see.
Tyler Warren, you think that would be somebody number 10 that would appeal to you?
That would appeal to me, and I think that would potentially be available. Yes, you like?
I think so. Again, the way that you believe in a draft pick is how they sell it and how they explain it and justify it. And I think by draft night, we're going to have so much enthusiasm in this Bears town for Ben Johnson that if Ben Johnson tells you Tyler Warren makes sense and they're going to get the most out of him in this offense, people are going to be nodding their heads. Oh, yes. Okay. Oh, great.
Yeah.
Good idea.
My mock draft last year, I did have the tight end that went to the Raiders.
Bowers?
Yeah, Brock Bowers. So I've been on that. If they were to go Tyler Warren, I wouldn't have a problem with that. Just again, looking at the NFL Network and Daniel Jeremiah, he has the Tyler Warren going to the Jets at 7.
You really like Daniel Jeremiah. Is he going to be a guest on the clock?
Yeah, eventually I think I would love to have him on. I mean, sometimes you just got to pick a guy. You know what I mean?
Is that Friday night?
This
You're
Friday.
You're working a lot this
I
week.
I am working a lot this week, man. I'm
you okay?
Haw, you can tell me how it all works. I mean, I'm going to go sleep for an hour after the show today, go out to the hall, come back at all in time just to be here with you again. You know what I'm saying?
Welcome to the grind.
Yeah. If you're going to be on this show, you need to have a couple of things going on in your day. Yes.
He is Mark Grody. He's in for Mully. When we come back, what did you hear at House Hall on Wednesday that you liked the most? What did you think about the impression that guys like Grady Jarrett and Joe Tooney and Jonah Jackson made? 312-644-6767. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
How you doing?
Going?
Jarrett Payton.
I always feel smarter when I get off the phone with you guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Former NFL running back.
And Payton will hit Pater. Touchdown, Titans.
College football national champion.
Jarrett Payton, one of my favorite teammates because he knew exactly what it was to be great. And we needed guys like him where Walter Payton was his dad. He lived under that shadow. When it was his time to step up, he did.
Sports anchor for WGN.
In this new chapter of my life, I'm so happy to be here in a great city like Chicago, an organization who has a history of just being, you know, just dominant defense, legendary great players, Hall of Famers. You know, I'm watching from afar, you know, be able to walk in the building as associated with Walter Payton. I've been a two-time Walter Payton Man of the Year Award nominee. I've met his family a couple of times. So the pride that I have in this place, I didn't even know it really lived into me until I walked into the building. You know what I'm saying? And so I'm just so fired up. Sorry, y'all.
The Jarrett Payton Show today.
Jarrett Payton.
How you doing, sir?
JP, how are you?
With Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
Jarrett Payton joins us on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa app today. Grady Jarrett is a Bear, and I think he's now everyone's favorite Bear. And we're going to get to that, but I have to ask Jarrett a question first. So, JP, I'm on vacation in Arizona. I'm driving around and, you know, out there. You're going distances to get to beautiful places. So I pop in some of my favorite podcasts, like the Dan Lebatard Show, which is one of my favorites. And I hear that Jarrett Payton's going to be on. I'm like, JP, that's my dude. This is great. And then I found out that you and Dan had quite the interesting reunion at the Super Bowl. Would you tell the Chicago people what happened?
Yeah, I'm Lawrence and Speaks. What's going on, guys? You guys good, though?
We're good, man. Thank you. Yes, thank you.
Yeah, and I got to say what's up to Tanny and Shane as well. Those are two of the best behind the board. All right, now listen. Crazy things happen at the Super Bowl. I'm in the convention center, and this is the day, God rest her soul, Virginia McCaskey passed away. So work wanted me to do a Zoom. So I grabbed my iPad, and I went out to kind of try to find a quiet area, and I found this desk that I could sit that was like perfect height for my iPad and talk back at do a talk back at WGN. Next thing you know, there's like, I look to the right and left, it's like, sure. So it's kind of like a welcome desk. So I'm like sitting there and I get done. I did about a 5-minute interview and I look up and it's Dan Lebatard walking with his wife and they're walking my direction. And I'm thinking he's going to walk up to me, you know, Miami guy, I'm a former Cane. He covered me when I was, you know, back in my days. I'm thinking he's about to come up and be like, what's up, JP? Like, what's good? He walks up to me and he's like, sir, do you know where the bathroom is? And I'm looking at him like, he doesn't know who I am. I'm like, for real? No. So I look at him, but I go, yeah, you know what? I don't work here. And then his face got shocked a little bit, like, what? And then I go, yeah, it's over that way. I don't work here. And Dan, you're probably going to, it's going to probably aggravate you a little bit, but I'm Jarrett Payton, man. One former Cane, he goes, and his face dropped. He felt so bad. So he's like feeling so bad. And then his wife is walking over and he's like, babe, do you know who this is? This is Jarrett Payton. I should have known who he was. I feel like such an idiot. I'm like, Dan, it's all good, man. It's all good. But then Dominic Foxworth, he got into the conversation a little bit later, about 10 minutes later, and he flipped it totally, Lawrence.
It was so
like,
great.
Oh, just a black guy behind the desk, and he's thinking, that's what you're thinking? It was hilarious. And Dan and I have been going back and forth talking about that moment, but it was one of those moments at a Super Bowl that you will never, ever forget. And then he's like, you got to come on my show and talk about it. So
didn't he do a feature on you?
Yeah, he did it. I think he did a feature on me. But I've seen him, Lawrence. I've been around him, like Miami. He's been down there, been the same places. I mean, he like watched me grow up from in college, man. So I'm thinking, you know, he's got to know me. Like, and he walks up, sir, you know where the restroom is? So I'm like, bruh, I don't work here. But it's all good. It turned into a funny story, man. And so it was good to reconnect with him, Laura. It's such a funny moment.
Oh, my God. I don't know if it's forgivable. I don't know, Jarrett. It's like, were you wearing a tuxedo?
You're taking the conversation exactly where it went on the pod.
Well, sure. I guess, like, I mean, did you have a napkin over your arm?
Hey, Steve, I want to be honest with you, man. A lot of people that were working inside of the convention center were wearing, I was wearing all black. So
sure.
But
Hang on, Jared. We're going to swap out your connection and try to get you on the phone. I mean, seriously.
I am driving down I-10 in outside of Phoenix, and I'm just dying laughing because I love Dan. We talked about this when Boog was on the show.
Yeah.
I am a huge fan of the Levitard show.
Well, and he smartly is obviously leaning into the embarrassment of the moment instead of trying to cover his own ass.
And that's what they do. That's why that show is brilliant. But to hear my guy JP like going through and Dominique would not let up and it was great. And I could feel Dan shrinking. Like as I'm listening to it, I could just hear him be like,
that's
wait,
a horrible feeling.
Maybe I do need to check my so a little bit here. Why did I think he was the bathroom attendant guy?
It just ain't right, Jay.
Unbelievable moment, man. Are you guys excited about these Bears or what?
Yeah, but we're over the moon, man. We were just talking about Ben Johnson's the obvious impact on everything here and just the way that a football organization is supposed to function with the coach kind of driving the bus and what kind of players he wants. And Ryan Poles seems to be totally cool with it. What's your thought on the way that Poles has come off yesterday and even before that in terms of having a partner and even letting Ben drive the bus a little bit?
You know what speaks? If you guys could have had a camera on me, because, you know, I'm an avid listener to the show and to the station. So when Lawrence was talking about how his feelings were, that if you would have seen me pumping my fist and hitting my steering wheel in the car, I'm like, that's what I'm talking about. That's exactly how I feel. I feel the exact same way. It's a different feel. And to take a part of what you guys were talking about a little bit earlier, just so you guys know I listen. Listen, I don't want to go chasing waterfalls, but it's hard not to when Ben Johnson and Ryan Poles put some TLC onto that interior line, right? It just makes you feel good. And so that's where I'm at. They're doing it the right way. And they're going out and they address needs, you guys, but they also are doing it with guys that are character guys. Guys that have won before, that understand what it means to win championships, to play double-digit years in the league, like a guy like Grady Jarrett. I mean, these are fixtures that are not only hopefully going to help you over the next 2 to 3 years, but also to build that chemistry and also that camaraderie inside the locker room and have what they were missing. And when it was, we all talk about culture. That's what we're missing in that organization inside of that locker room. And it seems like with the guys that they're bringing in, a guy like Joe Tooney, who's won championships, Grady Jarrett, by just listening to him talk at his press conference, if you don't want to run through a wall or that guy's not one of your favorite Bears players by the time the season starts, then I don't think you have a pulse, man. And so I like that it seems Poles is happier. He's smiling more because he has that right-hand man that he can bounce ideas off of. And I don't think that was the case when Matt Eberflus. And he was out there kind of on his own in some ways, how I felt that for Caleb Williams last year, kind of on his own trying to figure things out. But with Ben, he has a vision of how he wants things done. And when we talk about a one-of-one, his offense and what he needs, that's who he's going to go to him, and they're going to talk and collaborate. And I think that's where we're going to start seeing the magic. But how not to be excited about some of the moves that are made and then the vision of where they can go when you talk about the draft. It's an exciting time to be a Bears fan.
Well, he was the most desired coach for the second offseason in a row. And we knew, and the whole league knew, that once he got a job, he was going to make sure that he was in charge because he's got to have it his way or nothing at all. You know what I mean? And he's not moving too fast. I don't think he's right where he needs to be. What did you think about about Grady Jarrett invoking your pop's name and talking about having met the family? I guess that's you, Jarrett. And more, but that's pretty damn cool. As part of Grady Jarrett's initial statement of happiness to be here, he invoked your pop's name as part of the legacy. It's beautiful.
Hey, you want to know something even cooler, Speaks?
Yes.
I want to tell you.
Yes.
I'm going to let you in on a little secret. Literally right before I got on with you guys, I talked to him. So I talked to him about less than 20 minutes ago. I just got his phone number. I've been searching for it. We've been going back and forth because I've seen him over the last few years at Super Bowl because he's been the Falcons' Walter Payton Man of the Year nominee. And so, you know, the moment that I saw that they acquired him, you know, I put out the tweet just saying that I got a chance this past at New Orleans Super Bowl to talk to him a lot and just see how people revere him. And it's crazy because when you see some of these guys that are nominees, right, some of them are, you know, maybe 6 years in, 4 years into the league, but the guys that have double-digit numbers in the league, they are revered. People look at him and talk to him differently. And he was at the table, and we're just talking about how he takes care of his body and, like, you know, the growing up and watching LeBron and how LeBron, he can't spend the money that LeBron spends on his, you know, taking care of his body in the offseason, but he saw that that's the recipe and that he's trying to teach that to younger players. And so, just the conversation we just had was powerful again. Like, he's super excited. He goes, I can't believe that we were just talking. I was sitting by your mom talking about how amazing your family is and that I get to be here again and how being nominated again. And now I'm in Chicago. He's like, Jared, it's the craziest thing. Seeing your pops up on the wall, knowing that I'm here, he's like, I just can't wait to get going. And that's the personality. That's the type of player that this organization is getting. That's the type of player that this city is getting. And when you talk about cut from that same cloth as my father about giving back in service, that he is the guy. He doesn't talk about it. He bees about it. He is about it. He lives that life. And I love that he wants to play violent on the football field. Going into year 11, he's still got things to prove. He is a true dog. And I know Bears fans are going to get a chance to see him. And I hope he's mic'd up every single game so we can get that content on the Bears website at some point with a bunch of bleeps.
JP, how do you feel about how these last 2 weeks have gone? It feels like the Bears have, to me at least, that they've done all the things that, or most of the things that are on their checklist leading into the draft.
Yeah, I mean, it's about addressing those needs, Lawrence. And I think what got me the most excited about this is really addressing the offensive line. And I've been preaching this, and I know everybody has, but it's been a part of my mantra. Like, I talk about it all the time everywhere I go. You don't win championships. You're not consistently in the postseason and being in this conversation of championships if you can't win the line of scrimmage. You can't dominate the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. You might luck up if you got a great quarterback to get you there, but more than likely, it's not going to last. And I get a chance to go to these Super Bowls every single year. So to see them addressing the unsexy positions that everybody, because look at the contrast from this year to last year. Last year, it was about selling, oh, we're almost there. We're gonna make sure that Caleb has all these different weapons, but you didn't address the one thing that was most important. This year they did that, and I think seeing the fans react to it, saying, we've been telling you this for a long time, now you're listening, that to me says something about the way that they're going about their business. They're changing things up. They're going the direction that they need to go, and that's addressing those, especially that interior line with guys that have done it before. So, yeah, you're sprinkled here and there, and I think kind of gives you more options, Lawrence, when it comes to what do you do at 10 and which direction you go. I wouldn't be upset, though, if you're telling me you find a way to get a left tackle. I mean, Braxton Jones is, I understand that this organization and Bengals, they love Braxton, but if you have an opportunity to get a stud at 10, why not kind of shore up this offensive line? And then on the bookends, you got two young guys that could be here and be fixtures on your offensive line for a long time.
They're not sticking to the rivers and the lakes that we're used to. That's for damn sure. Thank you, Jarrett. You're the best. Appreciate
you. Talk to you soon.
All right, man.
One of the most underrated parts of the other guys is the TLC references all throughout that movie.
You guys didn't even catch it earlier when I said Ben Johnson had to have it his way or nothing at all.
Yeah, I caught that. I also enjoy that Jared just gave us a new intro for Ben's Vision.
Yeah, we'll see how fast Danny can turn that around.
Well, let's not put that on this man to do that. It'll be waiting for him on Tuesday.
No,
it's totally fine.
No. They got 6 minutes. What do you got?
Ben's Vision. We're going to talk a little bit about the defensive line and the Dennis Allen defense.
Uh-huh.
Don't go anywhere. That's next here on The Score.